You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here in KGYM on a sunny Thursday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream at kgymradio.com and on the mobile app from KGYM, as well as your smart speaker. Got a great show coming up for you. We will talk to Kevin Lehman, the coach, in our weekly segment, Off the Glass. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. And we'll take a look at Iowa and Michigan, the marquee game as far as college basketball is concerned tonight, on the men's side anyway, as far as the Big Ten and the country is concerned. We'll talk about that with you out there. We'll get our thoughts about it. We'll talk with Kevin about it. And break it all down for you. We'll take a look at the tournament schedule for the Girls' Day Basketball Tournament. That has been set. We got Boys District Final Action in Class 3A coming your way tonight for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. It'll be Solon entertaining Maquoketa tonight from down at Solon on both of the FMs. Welcome to join us, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Phone line, same number, same digits, 319-366-1600. Scott Unash with you from our studio here on the southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. And we bring in Mark Dukes on his sunny back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Hope you're all well. I am anxious to talk some hoops today and other matters. Developing story in Iowa City right now.
Yeah, we are well. I'm not sure Michigan is well, the women's basketball team right now, because Iowa and Michigan were scheduled to tip it off in about 25 minutes from Iowa City. And right now, this is kind of an eerie reminder of last March at Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, because teams were out there. At least one team was out on the court warming up. Did not see the other team, and then the music stopped, and we don't know where we are at right now as far as playing a game today.
Yeah, those covering the game, including Jeff Linder of the Gazette, described it just that way. And at best, this game is in a delay right now. Michigan has not taken the court for any pregame warm-ups, and as you described, Iowa had started warming up, but then were pulled off the court and sent to their locker room.
So the game is very much in doubt right now between Iowa and Michigan. Women, the women's game in Iowa City. We should let everybody know that. And the men's game is still on for tonight, 6 o'clock. ESPN will have the television for it, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we will keep tabs on things. Buttons is keeping tabs on it as well. And we shall see if a women's basketball game is played in the Big Ten in Iowa City today. We'll let you know first.
We will indeed, and we'll obviously dive into Iowa, Michigan, and men tonight. David and Hudson on the text line saying, we got to get one of these next two games.
I think Iowa would take it. I don't think there's any doubt about it. 319-366-1600, text line available to you out there, as well as David and Hudson, as Iowa and Michigan get ready to battle number 9, Iowa, number 3, Michigan, coming up this evening. And you got to think it's going to be a high-scoring game, don't you, Mark? Even though Iowa's defense has been much better as of late, we'll talk about this with Kevin coming up in a little bit, but Hawkeyes averaging 86 a game, Michigan just under 80 a game, and I got to think that you're going to see it up in and often, or at least trying to get it in up in and often tonight.
That would be my lean, Scott. Kevin, as I know, wants to talk about how Michigan will test this improved Iowa defense. And thinking about it today and thinking into Sunday afternoon when Iowa goes to Ohio State, I think my overriding feeling, as a journalist anyway, I would tell Iowa fans not to get too high or too low, depending on tonight's outcome and Sunday's outcome. The much larger prize is next month.
True. Yeah, very, very true. And, of course, the marquee matchup among things is the probable, perhaps, player of the year nationally and the Big Ten in Luka Garza, the newly minted all-time leading scorer in Iowa men's basketball history, against the guy that he probably will pass the torch to after the end of this year. And that, of course, is Hunter Dickinson, the big 7'1 center for the Michigan Wolverines, who came in with a lot of accolades into college basketball for his freshman year. But I don't think anyone was particularly thinking he was going to put up the monster numbers that he has had, and that is 15 points, almost 8 rebounds, and almost a couple of blocks, shooting 64% from the field. He's the Caitlin Clark of the men's side of things, although he has only been named Big Ten Freshman of the Year 7 times, as opposed to Caitlin's 11, soon to be 12, coming up next week.
He's dynamic, that's for sure, and that's one of many matchups we'll be following tonight. By the way, Michigan favored by anywhere from 5 to 6 points in this game tonight in Ann Arbor.
319-366-1600. Our friend, our golf friend 1527 weighing in that the temps are warming up on a beautiful day, but my Zalatoris bets are still ice cold. Ralph says, are they going to let Matt Wolf finish this round or throw him off the course? In case you're wondering, it's the first of the World Golf Championships this week. Usually played in Mexico City, but due to the pandemic, they have kept it in the United States. It's been being played in Bradenton, Florida, at a relatively new course out there, very tough course. And Matthew Wolf is playing like Mark, myself, Buttons, anybody else out there right now on the PGA Tour. And it's not good to see a pro do this. It's not good to see it at all. But I think it kind of makes you feel better a little bit. Matthew Wolf right now through 14 holes is plus 11. He turned in a lovely 44 on his first side. That would be the back. He did start with a par, though, before he went bogey, bogey, double, par, quad, double. He birdied 17 and 18, by the way, to get to a 44. But then started off his second nine with a triple and a bogey. So we all have those days.
I mean, this is a guy who has won PGA tournaments, and whether it's just this concession course doesn't fit his eye, whether he's off in some regard. Well, he is off. By the way, he made a birdie to get it to 11 over. Just an awful day for Matthew Wolf. And I don't know if Will Zalatoris is in this field or not, but
he is.
I'm sure he's playing much better than Matthew Wolf.
319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in on the text line available to you here today.
Will is minus one.
Oh, go ahead.
Will is minus one.
Minus one. Yep, he made the field. He's been playing very well as of late, Ralph. He may want to keep that thing going. May want to keep that thing going down there. But Iowa and Michigan, as we mentioned, we'll talk with Kevin in about 10 minutes or so. And talked about the fact, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. This is a scene. These are two veteran teams going at it. We talked about it a couple days ago and yesterday a little bit in Michigan with the transfers that they had come in. Not your usual transfers. Big-time scorers, one from Columbia, one from Wake Forest. And to go with Isaiah Livers, who's been very, I think, underrated as far as not only this season, but his career goes as far as Michigan basketball is concerned. Doing a lot of good things. And I also said this, I believe, on Tuesday. Michigan and Iowa almost mirror images of one another, because everything from Michigan, if you notice and look at it tonight, most every possession 80% of the possessions, Michigan has got to get a touch to Hunter Dickinson down low or somewhere in the lane. And that sets up so many things as far as that game is concerned. This is from Iowa Women's Basketball Communications. The game between Iowa and Michigan, the women's game, has been delayed. The game is being delayed in conjunction with COVID-19 protocols and will be played later today if possible. If not played today, the teams will work with the Big Ten to reschedule the contest. The decision to pause and delayed was made jointly by the Michigan and Iowa Department of Athletics and the sports medicine staffs in consultation with the Big Ten Conference. Thank you, Buttons. Appreciate that. So there you go. That is the latest. That is from Iowa women's basketball and the Iowa athletic department. So the game is not going to go off at 3:30, Mark. We know that.
Yeah, very odd situation there when one team is on the court and about an hour before game time and we have this situation crop up. I think these players are tested. Were tested earlier today. And, again, a very odd situation. I'm anxious. We may or may not hear more about it in detail. We know the privacy issues that exist. But we'll see if the game's played later on. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, and it's Jeff Linder just tweeting out Carver's doors have been locked. So, yeah, kind of scary times that we are in there. And feel for Jeff and everybody else down there as well. And you don't know if it's a Michigan COVID situation. You don't know if it's an Iowa. You would assume it's Michigan since Iowa was out on the court warming up. But, again, you don't know in this day of 2020, 2021, and the pandemic and COVID. So best to everybody down in Iowa City, and hopefully it's a little bit more caution than not, and they can get at least the game in. Sometime today. If not, they will try it again some other time.
Yeah, the fact that the doors are locked at Carver puzzles me a little bit, but perhaps that's part of the procedures that are in place when something like this may or may not crop up. But again, I don't know that we'll hear the actual issue that has prompted this delay, but we'll see.
319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you out there. 31-48, I'm putting 20 on Iowa on the money line. Am I a homer? No. I think it's going to take a pretty Herculean effort tonight by the Hawkeyes, though, to come away with a victory. I'm not saying it cannot be done. To be honest with you, Michigan has not thrown a bad game out there basically all year. Are they due for a bad game? Are the odds with the Hawkeyes perhaps tonight? We'll see. 96-63, I have not looked at this, but they are telling us in Iowa's game tonight, the over-under started at 165.5 and is now down to 155. Why? I don't know why. I have not heard anything about an injury or anything like that, but perhaps there's some inside information or just perhaps the thing got bet down quite a bit. But that's a lot. That's a big move.
Yeah, 10 points. Maybe odds makers made a mistake. I have no idea. I don't have any insight into that. I'm sorry.
Wes, not even Matt, the Michigan guy, saying no shot, Michigan covers tonight. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Iowa and Michigan going at it in Ann Arbor coming up this evening. 319-366-1600. There was Big Ten basketball last night, Mark, in a very important game.
Yes, indeed. And Indiana got up on Rutgers by a healthy margin very early on. But then Rutgers turned on the juices and came away with a pretty convincing victory that will go a lot towards the Big Ten seedings and perhaps into the NCAA tournament.
What does that do for Indiana? Boy, oh boy. I mean, they were squarely on the bubble before. and just trying to pull up bracketology as we speak right here.
Teams like that, I think, just rub salt in the wound for Iowa fans. Having lost twice to Indiana, a team that is 500, maybe not even 500 in the Big Ten. I haven't checked, but I'm sure Iowa fans are just scratching their heads over how did our team lose to Indiana not once but twice?
Indiana going into the week, the last Joe Lunardi update was among the last four in, along with Minnesota. And you got to believe now, that loss last night put Indiana on the outside looking in. Now, Duke may be the team that takes their spot as far as Joe Lunardi is concerned.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting stretch run. There's no question about it. And this didn't do Indiana any favors. It did Rutgers a big-time favor. That's not a bad team in Rutgers by any stretch. But Indiana's got work to do. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I do not want to see Rutgers, as well as Michigan State, on your line as far as the Big Ten men's basketball tournament is concerned.
Remember which team beat Michigan this year, Scott?
In the Big Ten?
Yeah.
I do not.
I had to look it up, too. It was at Minnesota by 18 points.
Yeah. Gophers have been good at home until the game against Illinois.
Michigan shot it very poorly, 39% from the field, 27% from three. I got to believe that's a recipe for an Iowa victory if Iowa can accomplish it. But that's the only game. That's the only outlier this season on the Michigan schedule. And that was a game in which Liam Robbins had 22 against Dickinson. So it can be done. It's been only done once in the league, though.
Yeah. 31-48 on the text line, bringing up a very good point as far as maybe that movement is concerned, or just asking, is CJ playing tonight? I have not heard anything that has said that he is out for sure, and basically I think we're going with the same thinking that Fran McCaffrey is. It's going to be day-to-day, as we all are out there. But we shall see. We shall see. Nothing official as of yet tweeted out there as far as if C.J. Frederick is not playing tonight in the ballgame.
I don't think that it would make the line move 10 points, though.
I can't imagine it would, no. No.
And not the line, but the total. Yeah.
319-366-1600. The NCAA, we can talk about this with Kevin as well, the men's and women's basketball committees, came out today with their contingency plans, Mark, in case a tournament team is forced to withdraw due to COVID-19 issues this year. And just basically the bullet points are, once the bracket is finalized and released, teams will not be reseeded, nor will the bracket change. Reasonable efforts will be made to ensure a full field is in place before the start of the championship. No replacement teams will be introduced after the tournament begins. That's very important. Team 69 is not going in to replace somebody, unfortunately, if they cannot play going into the tournament. Every participating conference should have the opportunity for a minimum of one team in the championship field. Beyond the goal of having at least one team from every conference, replacement teams must be among the best teams considered for an at-large bid. So nothing too out of the ordinary right there, but I would assume that's the first four as well. Once that thing tips off, there is not another team that's going into the tournament in case one or two have to drop out.
Yeah, if it's before... Before, though, I think I read in that release that the last four in will be seeded, and that number one among those four would be given priority. And if a multiple bid league loses a team, then that last four in would be given priority. And one bid leagues, I think I read, if it's before the bracket, then One-bid leagues can replace a team that cannot play with another in the league.
There you go. There you go. 3:24. We're going to take a break, come back. Again, the news going on from Iowa City, Iowa, Michigan women. They are delayed at least until 7 o'clock tonight due to concerns with COVID. Probably, we speculate, as far as the Michigan women's basketball team is concerned, since Iowa was out on the court warming up, that game will either be played tonight at 7 o'clock or will be postponed to a later date. Take a break, come back, and we'll talk college basketball more on Hoops with the coach, Kevin Lehman. We do that when we come back here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM.
Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use, they've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, and exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. They even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet, up to $1,000, back in site credit. So if you've never used FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the app right now to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Bets off.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are a mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter. Even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional, his work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Back with you here on the Gym Class, Thursday edition here on KGYM. Coming up on the Friday show, Scott Docterman from The Athletic will join us. We'll take a look back at Iowa and Michigan, look ahead to Iowa, Ohio State, and talk Hawkeyes with Scott coming up tomorrow. And Jeff Linder of the Gazette joins us. We'll preview the 2021 Girls State Basketball Tournament, which gets started on Monday, bright and early. Monday morning, 9 o'clock, going through very, very late on Monday and Tuesday evening as well. More on that as we get to it. Four teams we'll be covering starting next week: Iowa City West, West Branch, Northland, and Springville. So we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Going to talk men's college basketball right now. We do that on Thursdays with our Off the Glass segment. And that, of course, with Kevin Lehman. It is brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City or the surrounding area. Online at shootershomes.com. That's shootershomes.com. And Kevin joining us here today, who I don't know if you got, I'm sure you sent it to Mark as well, but I'm very jealous of the Lehmans down in, where are they, in Florida right now, enjoying the beautiful sun and warmth?
Yeah, Leesby, Florida, Sleepy Hollow Sports Complex with the Iowa women's softball team. They're going to open up tomorrow night at afternoon against Ohio State. I think Sarah's going to take the mound for the Hawkeyes.
Ah, very
but
good.
As you saw in the pictures, they were enjoying some beachside refreshments.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And why not, huh?
Well,
when you have the opportunity.
We got to keep pumping this sponsor, Scott, so maybe we can get a trip down there with him sometime.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a fabulous idea. And well, the college basketball world focused on Ann Arbor tonight, and why not? Number 9 versus number 3 as Iowa takes on Michigan, and two teams that like to score the basketball. We'll see how the defenses do in this game tonight. That's kind of your overall look going into it.
Well, we've seen this Iowa defense. The last four games, it's the best defense they've played in the Fran McCaffrey era. Their ball closeouts by the Hawkeyes are so much better. They're stopping penetration. But they're going to be really tested tonight against this Michigan team because they use that their big man, Dickinson, in ball screens to create opportunities. So Luka Garza, Jack Nunji are going to have to be on their A game. They're going to pull them off the three-point line. They're going to have to three-point or the ball screen defense going to be superb by Iowa to win this game.
Kevin, oftentimes former great players do not make great coaches. I think most would agree that Juwan Howard is defying that right now. How's he getting it done? Is it just, I mean, he's accumulated a heck of a roster. He's got the number one ranked recruiting class next year. How's he getting it done?
I tell you, the first thing that he did when he hired Phil Martelli, the longtime St. Joe's coach who got released, oh, he'd been there for 30 years. I thought that was a real stroke of genius. To have confidence in yourself that you would bring in a guy that probably knows more about X and O's than you do, I thought that was a stroke of genius. And you've seen coaches do that. They hire great assistant coaches. And look at Juwan's background. Go back to the mark to the Fab Five. He's the guy that's responsible for bringing in those other four guys. You remember Michigan signed him first, and then he went on the trail and got those Weber and Jalen Rose and those other guys to sign with that Fab Five. He's always had a great personality. And then he goes to Miami. He's with Pat Riley, another one of the great coaches and GMs, along with Spoelstra. I just think his background is suited so well. And you guys made a great point. We've seen so many of these guys come out of the NBA and fail as college coaches. Clyde Drexler always comes to mind at Houston. That experiment lasted like 2 seasons. It was a disaster. But Juwan Howard's doing just a great job. And, and this is Black History Month. He's the only minority coach in the Big Ten, which surprised me when I saw that stat.
Well, yeah, Juwan, and I think Juwan just is very good as far as relating to his players. And you mentioned Phil Martelli, and that was a genius hire, as you mentioned. But I think especially now in 2021, I mean, not COVID-wise 2021, but just where we are, and with all the transfers, you got to have players that want to be there, that want to be a part of your program, that want to see it get better and want to play. And up and down, no matter who is in for Michigan, they are a very cohesive unit.
You know, I've been on coaches' calls all day today because I got 2 different games coming up this weekend, 4 different teams, and they kind of said the same thing. You've got to get core guys, and Iowa's done that. Michigan's done that. And then the new wave is you bring in transfers. But your transfers, you got to have core guys in there that teach those transfers what your culture is about. So Michigan brought in Mike Smith from Columbia, and they bring in the Brown kid from Wake Forest, and they blended seamlessly with this group because, you know, he had the core guys in place, Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner and so forth. So it's been a pretty seamless transition, and his ability to also already sign that number one recruiting class. This is Michigan was good under John Beilein. They take it to another level in just year number 2 under Juwan Howard.
Kevin, the only team that's been able to solve this Michigan team in Big Ten play is Minnesota, as we talked about a bit earlier. That was an 18-point victory by Minnesota in Minneapolis, and we know the difference to the way Minnesota has played at home and on the road. But nobody has been able to duplicate that, even though the last 3 games were decided by single digits for Michigan. But in that game, Michigan shot very poorly, and I would bet that that's probably the best recipe for an Iowa victory tonight.
Well, their defense got to make them shoot poorly. And the team I'm still trying to figure out is these Gophers, because they cannot win a road game for some reason at Minnesota, but they've been pretty good at home. You know, Iowa had that same issue up there. But as you watch this Michigan team, they do a great job of spreading the court. They're very similar to what Iowa does in their concepts offensively. They're going to really spread you out. They've got a big man in the middle that can ball screen and create space going to the basket. This is going to be a really good matchup. And it's an opportunity for Iowa. If you look at what Iowa has left in their schedule, they got some great opportunities here and possibly move into a number one seed line if they can finish strong on what they got going here. So, you know, look at Iowa. They've got Michigan at Ohio State, Nebraska, and then Wisconsin at home. They've got three quad three games left. They've already got 11 wins on the quad one, quad two. So this is a real opportunity for the Hawkeyes. They're not far off that number one seed line.
Let's just, for fun, play devil's advocate and say Iowa goes 4-0. They go 3-1. They go 2-2, whatever the case may be. I mean, 2-2, what's the worst Iowa, depending on what happens in the Big Ten tournament, obviously. We got to throw that in there. But, I mean, Iowa doesn't fall below a 4 line right now, do they?
Oh, no way, Scott. I don't think they can fall below a 3 line because the body of work is in there. Unless they have a massive meltdown at the end here, which I don't think is going to happen. And then, of course, like you said, you've got the Big Ten tournament. So that adds a whole other level in there to go either direction, to improve your resume or hamper. But I think they're pretty firmly here on a 2 or 3 line right now. And these next two games coming up are huge to solidify that. And I think an important thing is, Mike, you don't want to be in the same bracket as Gonzaga and Baylor.
Hmm. Although Iowa State gave Baylor all they wanted the other night.
That's a whole different story. Because Baylor hadn't played for 3 weeks. I think they only had 3 days of practice together before that Iowa State game. You saw that little sluggish in the first half for the Baylor Bears.
Kevin, do you think it's more likely or not that the Big Ten has two number one seeds going to the Big Ten tournament, maybe 2 ones and 2 twos?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. You know, Michigan, Ohio State up there right now. And it kind of depends on Alabama, because they're the next one that could move in there. If they won the SEC tournament, I could see them possibly being able to move up there if Michigan or Ohio State did not win the Big Ten tournament. Villanova's another one that's a possibility, but you know, in Illinois, how about their loss at Michigan State last night? Of course, DeSumo has a broken nose, so he's not going to play against Nebraska coming up in their next game. So he's going to wear a mask. He's been fitted for a mask. That may hamper Illinois. But Illinois's got the toughest road here, guys. If you see what they have, you know, they lose at Michigan State. They got Nebraska at home, but then they finish up at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Ohio State. That is not an easy road for the Illini.
Yeah, Iowa.
But again, if they win those, unfortunately, that Michigan State loss may hamper it, but if they would have won those, that might have pushed them up to a number one seed line.
Yeah, that 2 seed is possible for the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten tournament. I really think that. Kevin Lehman joining us here at 3:38. Off the Glass segment brought to you on Thursdays by Chris Lehman of ShootersHomes.com. Check him out right there. Let's take a look at the big picture. Indiana losing last night to Rutgers. I think Indiana's on the outside looking in. That probably drops the Big Ten to 8. Who'd have thunk 3 weeks ago that Maryland would be pretty solid right now in the field of 68? But the team that probably benefited the most last night, probably the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah. How about the Duke Blue Devils? They got a 49 net. They're quad one, quad two, 6-7, but they've been pretty good lately. They've won 3 in a row. They've beaten Syracuse. They've beaten Virginia. It's going to help them a lot. Win it, the NC State. And they got Louisville coming up Saturday. Then they go to Georgia Tech. They go to North Carolina. So this is a team. Duke's going to play their way into this, guys. I see it coming right now. They're starting to play a little bit better. And they got the ACC tournament. So for those Duke haters, I think they're going to make the field.
Yeah, guess who else is playing good? Big Blue down in Lexington, although the hay may already be in the barn for Kentucky. But and by the way, the SEC, you would if you would even poll college basketball enthusiasts right now, I'm not sure the percentage that could tell you that the top two in the SEC right now are Alabama and Arkansas.
Right. I was surprised I saw Arkansas. I've been following Alabama all year under Nate Oates because I called some of his games when he's at Buffalo. And they shoot the three ball. They spread you out and shoot. That is a team that's going to be hard to play against, Alabama. But Arkansas has come on strong under Musselman. And you know who's faded? Tennessee and Missouri. Those are two teams. You know, I had that radio call when they matched up in Columbia. I really was impressed by Tennessee, but they have really struggled to score the basketball.
Kevin, I made the comment earlier in the show that if I had a message for Iowa fans in these next two games, not to get too high or too low, depending on the results, because the larger prize is next month. Your reaction to that maybe absurd comment, I don't know.
No, Mark, you sound like all of us Iowa fans. We always get teased by this Iowa basketball team, and when we really think we're on to something, they've had some issues, like the loss at home against Indiana. I mean, we were all going to toss them underneath the bus at that point. And now they've won four in a row, so we're back on the bandwagon. I think that's just what being part of a Hawkeye fan is about. You're going to follow them, and you're going to think the best. And then if they trip up, it's like, oh, no, here we go again. But, yeah, I think you enjoy the ride. This is a great team, guys. They are fun to watch. They got, you know, homegrown guys in Wieskamp and Bohannon that can really play. And then when's the next time we're going to see, like, Luka Garza come through wearing a Hawkeye uniform? This guy is – he's unbelievable. His work ethic, his skill set, and his personality and character are unmatched. I think this is just a very, very special Iowa team, and we need to sit back and enjoy it.
I would agree. I would agree. And, Kevin, looking at the Mo Valley right now, Drake, I don't know how Darren DeVries is doing it. God bless him, because, you know, managers are starting to dress out for the Bulldogs now with all the injury problems that they have had. Still tied in there with Loyola. Those two still in most of the brackets right now, as they should be. Drake at 23-2 and Loyola 10 net at 19-4. So very good for them. Big, big chasm between the fourth place Indiana State team, and then you got Evansville, Valpo, Southern, Bradley, UNI, and Illinois State all going into the final couple games within two games of each other to try to get out of that first day of the Mo Valley tournament out of Arch Madness. And UNI's got a real good opportunity because they take on the bottom dweller, Illinois State.
There are 1,034 scenarios for the Missouri Valley seeding right now. As we speak today, 1,034. And I just got off my conference call with Ben Jacobson, and he has told his team, we're going to treat tomorrow at Illinois State like we're already in the Valley tournament, because if we win Friday, we win Saturday, we get a little help from Valpo, a little help from Evansville, we are not playing on Thursday. That's the approach for Northern Iowa. And if you're Drake, if they can win at Bradley, and, you know, Bradley's got three of their better players, three of their top six guys are still suspended. So Drake's going to limp in there with probably a 6.5-man roster. But if they win out and Loyola wins out, Drake gets the number one seed because the Valley changed this year on their tiebreaker. It's been the net because they weren't sure they'd have 18 games in. They went to the old system where you go down, you go to head-to-head, they split. And since Drake swept Indiana State, they would get the tiebreaker and be the number one seed over the Loyola Ramblers.
Well, a piece of good news for Drake today. I think I saw Darren DeVries saying that Hempel could be back for Arch Madness. Now, Roman Penn doesn't look like he'll be back, but if that's the case, that'd be nothing but helpful.
It is. But have you seen what the backup, Joseph Yesufu, has done? He had 36 against Evansville the night before. He had 32, and I think he had a career-high 20 against Northern Iowa. This guy has been playing lights out, but as Scott mentioned, their bench is short. They played three guys. Yesufu and Sturge played 40 minutes, and Wilkins played just under 40 minutes. So when you get in that three-game tournament, in St. Louis. A few buys like that, playing 40 minutes, that's going to be tough for them to get all the way to the championship and win it, unless they get, like you said, Hemphill back. And you'll wonder, Mark, how healthy will he be if he comes back for that tournament? What type of shape will he be in?
Well, you got to be creative. Darren DeVries is going to have to be creative at Arch Madness with timeouts and just getting rest for guys. I mean, it's going to be timeouts, I think, more for rest than, you know, to stop runs or just to put out strategy or things like that.
You know what else, guys? That's why I talk about them being number one seed. If they can sweep Bradley this weekend, because you have better game times if you're the number one seed and more rest between games in day one, two, and three. So that would help them also. It's you know, it's like any league. You get that time this time of year, you just got to go out and win games, no matter if you're playing at home or you're playing on the road. And that's a great thing about college basketball. Late February, you get into March, you know, we see some strange things happen. And some teams, like last night, Michigan State beating Illinois. I didn't see that one coming.
All right, Kevin, a little more than 2 hours at tip-off in Ann Arbor. What's your gut feeling?
I tell you what, from what I saw, what Michigan did to Ohio State, I think Iowa's got to play a near-perfect game to win this one, because Michigan is just playing so well. And they got the big guy Dickinson at 7'1" that can handle Garza for some period of time by himself. I think Livers is going to be a real problem for Iowa to deal with. And you know, the guy we forgot to stop talking about was Franz Wagner. He was the one that said he was an NBA player. And he's been kind of quiet here of late. But if C.J. Frederick's got it going and knocking in the three ball and Wieskamp's got his A game, Iowa can win this game.
Love Isaiah Livers. I think he's one of the more underrated guys in the country.
Well, he's 6'7". I mean, and yeah, I like him too. He's got a great game. He can score at every level.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be fun tonight in Ann Arbor, certainly. 6 o'clock with the tip-off on that one. You've got Valley basketball over the weekend, so that'll be fun as we get ready. Arch Madness is not too far away.
We're going to start Thursday. I just found out I'm going to be broadcasting from the third deck of the Enterprise Center for the TV. And then when I flip over and do radio, I'm going to the fourth level. So I'm going to Fin and Feather or Shield to buy some binoculars here this afternoon.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It's going to be different this year, but at least we're playing.
I'm going to be with your guy, Mitch Holthus, on the TV calls again, Scott. So I'll get the word on Mahomes and what happened in that Super Bowl loss.
Well, I know what happened, and I think Mitch knows what happened. Tampa Bay was really good, and the Chiefs didn't have a line.
Okay. So you don't want to relive that. All right. Well, we won't talk about it.
I don't think Mitch wants to relive it either. So, you know, you want to ease into that conversation, I think, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah, he was hoping to put on a second championship ring. I do know that. And I'm sure you were too.
Well, I didn't get one first one, but I yes, Mitch would like to have the second one, and hopefully we'll come down the line. So yeah, we'll talk to you down there next week. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so am I. It's going to be a great tournament, and you know, that's kind of the first one that starts off, and then we got the Big 12 and the Big 10 right behind it. So it's going to be a busy 3 weeks.
It is here, no doubt about that. All right, Kevin, thanks. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, guys.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us with Off the Glass each Thursday. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman at ShootersHomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, 3:48, and we'll have, among other things, a bowling night in America. Recap from last night after this here on KGYM.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. But there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Their advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
And Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
The great Magic Johnson joins us.
Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, joins us this morning.
Good morning, brother.
Get inside the biggest stories.
This trio being formed will make people actually root for LeBron James.
Plus, the insiders come here to tell you what to expect next.
They could move him again before the trade deadline.
The NBA is on. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM, on this Thursday. We got high school boys tournament basketball tonight. 3A district final. It'll be Solon entertaining Maquoketa. Miles and Eric on the call of that one coming up tonight. Matthew Wolf still out on the golf course, Mark. Plus 12, but he hit it within 6 feet on his 17th hole of the day. Not giving up. Let that be a lesson to everybody out there.
No, he could three putt from there. You know that.
I could. We all could. We all could, indeed. Not a lot of three putts last night, or I don't know how many missed 10 pins or whatever the case may be, but did get a little bit of a recon last night. But for everybody out there, on Thursdays, it is time for our Bowling Night in America wrap-up, and it is brought to you by the home of Bowling Night in America, May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, and boys went at it last night on a Wednesday without us.
Yeah, the Rusty Nails Leaguers pulled out an 18-12 win over our friends from the Grow Works. For some reason, Warren Villana, Wayne Selk, and not in the lineup for them. But at any rate, I think the boys, the good guys, trailed going to the last game, but then got 9 out of 10 points and secured the victory. So nice night, guys. Good job, and we'll go at it again next week.
We hope. More injuries, though. How can we get hurt bowling?
So I heard.
That happened. There has been rumors out there to the effect that we may have to dig deep into the roster.
Maybe a taxi squad is in order.
Perhaps.
But
you still know the combination, right?
I do, but we'll cross that bridge when it comes, okay? But good night for Justin Hansen on the lanes, 279 for the high game in the Evergreen League. Joel Downer, a familiar name, 775 for the top series. And by the way, Joel's team, I don't know if you caught this, Scott, they had 4 700 series.
Pretty good.
Last night.
That is amazing.
I'm sure it's been equaled, if not eclipsed, but that's a rarity. And obviously they won about 25, 26 out of the 30 points. So good bowling by those guys.
Yeah, I see they're right behind us now in the standings.
Yeah, we were in fourth. They're in fifth. Got that right?
Correct. Very fast. Adam on the text line says he hurt himself bowling on a backswing once, but he said there may have been alcohol involved.
Well, that's a shocker.
Adam, I hope you're okay. Hope you're okay out there. Now we'll see what we have in the lineup next week. I'll probably, yeah, I'm off in the next couple weeks due to state basketball. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. If we have enough for a healthy roster out there, no one's feeling sorry for us, Mark.
We'll piece something together like the Chiefs did with that offensive line in the Super Bowl, right?
Right. I hope it goes better. Hope it goes better. Oh, man. But if you have, if you want to visit the pro shop, you have inquiries as far as open bowling is concerned, give our friends out at May City a call.
Yeah, please give them a call ahead of time, 362-0136, if you're interested in open bowling or visiting the pro shop. You can also go to the website, maycitybowlcr.com. And I know they have posted out there some upcoming tournaments that may be of interest to you. So take a look.
Awesome. Awesome. The latest from Iowa, Michigan women's basketball. Jeff Linder reporting that it may be a while before there is a decision made. In case you missed it, Iowa, Michigan women were supposed to tip off in Iowa City at 3:30, just past 3:30. And Iowa, before the ball game, was out practicing, shooting around on the court, music going, the whole nine yards. Music stopped, and the Lisa Bluter came out to address the team, and Iowa went into the locker room. And Michigan never came out. There has been a statement released by the Iowa Athletic Department and Iowa Women's Basketball that the game has been delayed until at least 7 o'clock this evening due to COVID protocols from the Big Ten Conference. And you can imagine that it's probably a Michigan situation since Iowa was out there on the court already. I guess we can't assume in this day and age, but we shall see. If the game is not played today, it will be moved to a later date. And now Buttons tells me there have been several reports of Lisa Bluter seen driving away from Carver Hawkeye Arena. She's driving away. And I don't know if she's doing a Daytona 500 going out and getting, you know, drive-through before coming back, which could happen. But anyway, they did lock the doors for a while anyway, Carver Hawkeye. So Iowa, Michigan women are in limbo right now.
Yeah, not all the doors, right? If Bluter was seen driving away.
Well,
of course, she's probably got keys to the building, but no laughing matter. I can, and I don't want to speculate on what happened, but perhaps a Michigan player fell ill, you know, right before the game and needed to be tested and needed a time for those results to come back and whatnot. That's the only assumption that I can make, and I hate to make assumptions. Curious situation an hour before game time and the fact that it's delayed now. But I know Todd and Alex will keep you updated during the course of their show.
Indeed. Indeed. No, 31-48. Joel, I don't know if he's up to 100, 300s yet. And 98-43 suggests we pull a Nebraska and use the COVID card until all our good bowlers heal.
By the way, did you see our friend Joel and Muscatine last night?
I did not. I love going down to Muscatine. It's a beautiful gym, old-time gym, but a huge building. And Muscatine, a really neat high school down there. But they treated us well, thanks to all those folks. Congratulations to Springville and North Lynn, as well as Iowa City West and West Branch, all advancing to the Girls State Tournament next week. Coverage starting off on Monday afternoon on 106.3 FM. That will be a 3 o'clock game as West will take on Waterloo West in a 5A quarterfinal coming up on Monday afternoon. So looking forward to that. And as mentioned, Solon Boys in action tonight against Maquoketa on both 107.5 and 106.3 FM, as well as the stream and app coming up this evening. And then we're back at it tomorrow with 4A Substate Basketball coming your way, and that will be at 6:45. More on that tomorrow. Scott Dochterman joins us tomorrow, and we'll preview the Girls State Basketball Tournament with Jeff Linder of the Gazette if he gets out of Carver Hawkeye Arena at any time today. All right.
Yeah, I meant to mention the poll question. It's just a matter of picking who wins the Michigan-Iowa game tonight. Go to KGYMRadio.com. And answer that question.
We'll talk about that game coming up tomorrow. More on Iowa, Michigan. Todd and Alex coming up next. Have a great night, everybody. KGYM. Liberty.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
As a minimalist, paying less for insurance is more.
Nice place. Is your house a bubble?
It's a dome. I find